Helen Shiel on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania.
Childhood memories where you'd dig for archaeological treasures or you'd flip through the air in your trampoline sessions. Childhood memories can already be pretty magical, can't they? But what about if you grew up in Australia's largest zoo? Disability advocate Fiona Strawn did. Fiona, hello.
Hello, Helen.
How old were you when you went to live in a zoo?
9.
That's a really good age to appreciate living in a zoo.
It's a brilliant age. It was phenomenal.
So what was your dad's job?
He was a zoologist, and we were about to actually go to Sweden for a sabbatical. My mother was knitting me a really funky orange sweater. And then he came into my bedroom at night and said, we're going to move to the zoo and I'm going to be the zoo director. And I said to him, well, we have a car with big red writing saying zoo director on it. I wanted fame. And he said, no. So we didn't go to Sweden. The jumper wasn't knitted, but I had, you know, my sister and brother and I had the most phenomenal 7 years in Taronga Zoo.
Where do you live when you live on site at a zoo?
Well, we had a house built for us. He was the first zoologist to actually become the director. And it was at a time where across the world zoos were changing from being a single animal that you kind of looked at and poked at to actually being a place of education, and that the animals were in a habitat that suited them and that we had to kind of negotiate that habitat. So he had been lecturing at UNSW and we moved and they built a house and it was right on the edge of the zoo. Now, the zoo is on a bit of a peninsula, like it's right on the harbour. And so there was Ashton Park outside of us where we just kind of like, if we weren't in the zoo, we were bush bashing around that. And so there was a gate that came from the outside world and then we had a gate into the zoo. And it was incredible. And one of the things, I learned so many things. I could talk the leg of a chair.
Good. That's what I've got you in here for.
And one of the things about animals is dawn and dusk for most animals is a time of activity, either waking up or going to sleep or whatever. And that's when there were no people in the zoo. So we had the zoo and these animals at their most kind of freest and relaxed. And we would just kind of, we had, you know, do you remember scooters, or you might be too young, scooters that had pump-up tyres?
Okay, they did pass me by.
Yeah,
tell me more.
Well, we had them, and so my sister and I would just hoon around the zoo on these scooters.
And you had free rein?
We had free rein. We weren't allowed to go into animal cages or anything like that, though we did raid the cafeteria chocolate milk fridge.
Who didn't think to put a lock on that?
Yeah, exactly. But what was amazing was also the people who worked there. And I wanted to be, by about 11, I wanted to be an ornithologist. So I was tagging around but behind the head birdhouse keeper every weekend and school, or maybe not every weekend, but certainly school holidays.
Which was your favourite bird?
I didn't have one. I was too just and you know, like there were times where birds had, you know, there were times where some were more favourite than others. But there was this moment. There was the guy who was the director before was a chap called Sir Edward Hallstrom, who also had a white good factory, like Hallstrom fridges and washing machines. And he had a little thing for white animals, albino animals. So there were them spotted around the zoo too. But there was a macaw, a beautiful red macaw called Sir Edward. And he lived in the birdhouse at night. And during the day, he would get onto a long stick. And there would be a keeper on either side and they would walk him through the zoo to the flamingo cage where he was sat and he would sit there all day and then kind of go back. And, like, you know, he was an old parrot, old macaw. And when I got to hold one end of that stick, I felt like I was the queen of, like, it was such. So I learned animals just became something of not a patronising awe, but a, like, just a commitment to them.
What would be your earliest memory of the zoo?
Well, we had this back garden and we were given some chooks, bantams, and there was Henry and Henrietta, and then they had some chickens and they were like Frieda and Frederick and, you know, whatnot. I think it was the, I think my first memory was talking to the zookeeper. We were near, behind the tigers, in front of the some kangaroos, and then there were a whole lot of birds, and then the rhinos. And I walked out the back, the gate into the zoo, and was talking to the kangaroo zookeeper, and I said, "Hello, Mr. Brown." And he said, "If you're going to call me Mr. Brown, I'm going to call you Miss Strawn." And I went, "Okay, what's your name?" He went, "Phil." And so it became Phil and Fiona. And I started talking to him about kangaroos, and it was just, I just started to have a relationship with adults who shared knowledge to this really curious young person. And I learned that he never put his back to a kangaroo, red kangaroo, because what they would do is sit on their tail, reach back and just kick him with their back feet. So I started to get all this knowledge.
Well, had he learned that the hard way? Animals.
No. Oh, good. No, thank God. And so I started to learn all of this. So it moved from cute kangaroo to understanding animals in a contained place. And there was a lovely zookeeper who spoke Indian to the Indian elephants. And at that time you could sit on a big saddle and go around. And I used to sit on the head of the elephant with him while he talked Indian to it. And it was just like all of this was just soaking in. So
what about the big cats? Did you have much to do with them?
Look, they were near us, and I learned that that they would not be my friend. You know, and but there was, I think the thing that got me about the tigers was the pacing and the pacing of an animal in a confined place. Mm. And when you imagine what that animal would be like in their natural habitat. And yeah, so I didn't have any false ideas of making some romantic connection with them. I did invent a story when I was at school about having a pet tiger, which was completely ludicrous. I had a bit of a thing for kind of, like I did do, there was one day where I don't know what was happening in my life, but I couldn't do what I needed to do at school. So I went to school and said I'd been bitten by a snake. And, you know, as if like, and I never got close to snakes in the zoo, you know.
What?
And then the school rang my parents. My parents said, "Look, Fiona, you don't do that. You know, if you're having a problem with your work, you know, talk to us. But you don't go to school, so, you know, that's a bit embarrassing."
It was a very diplomatic response from your parents there.
I think they did. There's a lot of eye rolling going on. But, yeah, and I remember the first time I watched the animal be put down and understanding that was the best thing to do. And I was like, you know, I mean, farm kids know that. But, you know, a city kid seeing that to an iconic animal is kind of really, yeah, really interesting. Mm. But the thing about the birds was I learned about ecology. I learned about environment. I learned about relationships between, you know, what a call meant. And I used to go up on my school holidays and make the food for birds. And the zoo had a farm at Mona Vale, which was one of the northern beaches, so there'd just be these truckloads of things coming in. But there'd also be deliveries of, you know, 500 pawpaws or, you know, pineapple for all these birds from all over the country. And we'd be chopping it up and, you know, this bird would get that. And then we also had day-old chickens brought in for the raptors. And so I could be chopping pawpaw and then I could be picking up a chicken and banging its head on a killing it, and then putting it for a raptor. So it was like, wow.
Fiona Strawn on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania, her remarkable childhood growing up inside Taronga Zoo. What could you hear from your home of an evening?
Well, in the evening we would hear the gibbons, and they have this beautiful call. We would hear the tigers because they were behind us. And like, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
We would hear all kinds of a cacophony of birds. Sometimes we would hear, and the elephants, they weren't far from us too. And there's some beautiful noises that animals make when they're just harumphing, when they're just hanging and relaxed. And there's like all these vocals from elephants and vocals from, you know, birds. It's incredible. And, I mean, a lot of other parts of Hobart could hear that. I mean, sorry, Sydney could hear that too, like the, you know, full moon kind of like, you know, cacophony of you know, carnivores and birds and monkeys. Monkeys are incredibly vocal, so vocal.
Do you think there would be some of the creatures alive, maybe some of the primates or the birds, who would remember you when you went back?
I don't know. Look, I don't know. So, you know, it's been a while. I wondered about some of the old African elephants. There was, I have to tell you this story, my colleagues at Disability Voices made me tell it all the time. Because of the changes that were happening in the zoo, more animals were breeding, and there was a first baby giraffe born.
Oh, come on.
So it was on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald. Now, my dad, being a zoo director, you know, got to name it, and he named it Fiona, right? So he was Fiona was on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald. Now, people who are listening might not know, but I'm actually quite short. And I'm at the school, and this was in that horrible teenage years where you're about 14, 15, and there was a bunch of girls in the year above who were pretty ghastly. And they came up and they went, "Your name Fiona?" And I went, "Yeah." They went, "Your dad the director of the zoo?" I went, "Yeah." And I go, "Why do you name a giraffe after you when you're so small?" "Near, near, near, near." And I went home and I went, "Dad, why? You know, don't you realise what you've done?" Which, of course, he hadn't. He said, "I named it after you because you had big brown eyes," which I did at the time. They're now green. And I was like, "Yeah, great. I'll go back to school and go, well, dudes, it's because I've got big brown eyes."
FYI.
But, you know, just like, and we would feed the giraffes and, you know, like when visitors came, we'd go and feed giraffes. And when you'd stand there with a carrot and their front legs would slide out, doing the splits, and then they would lower their head and their tongue would come out and it would curl the carrot and suck it back into the mouth. And it was like, you do that once, it's incredible. Like, and even though I did it a lot, it was still amazing. So I went back, I went to Dubbo Zoo to see if Fiona was still alive, but she wasn't. She'd got moved out to the Western Plains Zoo. But
was it ever scary?
No, because we were brought up to be respectful of animals and not push their limits or not, There were times where it was really sad. Like, there were two female dolphins, Sheila and Shirley, and they were in this massive pool and they used to kind of go through, because there was a lot of entertainment when we first got there, and gradually that got faded out, and they'd go through a hoop on fire and get a fish. And someone put a fish in the bucket filled with bobby pins and fish hooks.
What?
Yeah, yeah. People go to the zoo for not the reason that you and I might go. And so one of them died. I can't remember if it was Sadie or Sheila. And so the staff did this 24-hour swimming with her, because she was like so, and they'd been a lifelong relationship. And people don't think about a lot about relationships between animals. They think we think about the relationship between us and the animal, but not between the animals necessarily, and the mourning that goes on. And so the staff were just swimming with her, which, and so that loyalty and that commitment was what I saw my sister and I, because my brother was older and left home, sister and I saw. And, you know, you can't not be affected by that. And then they got this dolphin down from Queensland, because there's all these zoos are talking to each other. And they go, "Okay, we've got a male one, we'll bring him down." And he was some little kind of boisterous boy who was like going, "Woohoo, girl," you know, bouncing around the pool going, "Look at me, look at me."
Dolphin strutting.
A dolphin strutting indeed. And she, yeah, it wasn't, they ended up tolerating each other, but she was just, yeah, grief struck.
Do you think you learned life skills?
Totally, totally. I think what I learned, I was thinking about this coming here, is I learned about systems, you know, about ecosystems and relationships between humans and animals and about change. And I did the zookeeper course, I sometimes feel for those zookeepers, really. I did as 14 every Tuesday night. I went and did this in internal zookeeper course with other zookeepers, and I passed it. And I thought, what was it like having them having the boss's daughter there? And so I learn about relationships with people other than my age. And there was a time in my life where the kind of things at school and a bit at home were a bit rocky, and that zoo and the relationships I had with people and animals really helped me with that. And I think what I learned, what I learned was animals have relationships with you if you are a person who can have a relationship with them, you know, and,
Where do you picture yourself when you think of yourself at Taronga Zoo?
Probably in the birdhouse, probably chopping up stuff and whizzing around in a little mini moke, you know, feeding animals. And I remember, you know, the keeper I had, the head keeper, Les Clayton, was a phenomenal man. I've just connected with some of his grandchildren through a Facebook page of Birds Australia. And I remember turning up one day and watching him give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a really rare bird. And so it's those moments that you don't know that they've changed you, but they do. You know, they sit somewhere in you. And you're different because of it.
Fiona Strawn, thank you so much. She grew up in Taronga Zoo.